Hi there, thanks for joining us on The Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's regular weekly golf show in partnership with Boyle Sports. I'm Bruce Millington, he's Steve Palmer. Very shortly, we will be looking ahead to two tournaments this week. But first of all, a reflection on last week. And Steve, what was your overall reflection?
I thought it was not bad. We had three teams in the Zurich Classic. Two of them got in the places. We had a full place return from Burns and Horschel, who finished second. And then we had a partial place return from Bradley and Steele, who finished tied fourth with loads of other teams. So, yeah, the Zurich made up for the disappointment of the ISPS Handa Championship in Spain. A real mouthful that you missed out on last week. Yeah, we should have been on Pablo Larrañaga, a sweet spot favourite at 28-1 anti-post. But we leapt aboard him running at 9-1 instead prior to the
final.
That
was on Golfwise Extra, was it?
Yeah, better late than never. We got on the Radabal, but yeah, we missed out there.
Yeah, because I was away and I checked in your tips and you really went for some exotic selections, didn't you? I hadn't heard of half of them. Did any of them threaten? I think Tom Lewis did the best, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I was angry with myself. A bit of overambition, really. I mean, 28-1, the Radabal was fair. He was in the others to note section in the preview. Hopefully a few punters, some punters follow the others to note as well. And yeah, I went for loads of outsiders. 10th place. Lewis in 10th place was the best one. But yeah, the Radabal is a Barcelona man. And he was playing in Tarragona, which I know you like your trips to Spain. Tarragona, just south of Barcelona. It was a big miss for us. But better late than never. But we are proven champion. Seventh.
I was going to say that. Match. Yeah, seventh Tourtartan and second this year. Because he also won our favourite tournament down in Peckinwood, didn't he? Peckinwood. So he's a real winner. And I like the quote from his girlfriend. It wasn't from his girlfriend. He said to his girlfriend in the morning on Sunday, choose some gear for me that will look good in the pictures, because he fancied his chances, didn't he?
Yeah. I think he loved having his family and friends supporting him there. I mean, the fact he'd never won in Spain before, I saw that as a negative beforehand, but that was foolish. It was a positive because, he's fiercely determined, wasn't he? He was very emotional, and afterwards he was probably the most pumped up player in the field there. And, as I say, better late than never, but a bit disappointed we missed the 28.
Oh, well, he seems a nice chap, doesn't he, Le Rathabal? Do you like him?
Yeah. He's certainly entertaining. Yeah, he's one of the real characters on the European Tour. You know, wears his heart on his sleeve.
and showed good bottle to get it done, because it was quite close there, wasn't it? It wasn't quite so close in America, was it, for the Zurich, the pairs event, in which Schauffele and Cantlay teamed up and their class prevailed, didn't it?
It did. Cantlay's such a solid player. I think Schauffele loved having him as a partner. Yeah, this is a friendship that blossomed on a flight. On the long flight to Royal Melbourne for the President's Cup, these two got to know each other very well. They knew each other as kids. They played competitions in California together. But, yeah, they played cards and bonded on that trip. And then they played well in that President's Cup. They scored points together against the internationals. And then they scored points together in the Ryder Cup last year. So it's a formidable partnership in better tournaments than the Zurich. Yeah, but I thought they were well found in the market last week. I haven't got any regrets on that one.
What price were they at the outset?
17-2 at the outset, with Schauffele hadn't been in good nick. And Schauffele, he's vulnerable. He wobbled a little bit on Sunday. I don't know if you watched the final round. There was a moment where it did look like Schauffele was going to wobble again. But Cantlay was so fantastic throughout that it didn't matter in the end. And I think Schauffele was relieved to see Sam Burns find water with his drive at the 16th hole. Key moment that, the pressure would have been ratcheted up if they could have birdied that hole. It wasn't a bad drive from Burns. Tugged a little bit, found the water. If they'd made birdie there, might have been a different story. But they finished par, bogey, par. Yeah, the final hole of par five is a really disappointing finish for our boys. They didn't hole a long putt all week, but we take the place money.
Did you enjoy the format of that? It's quite good, isn't it? Something a bit
different.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a refreshing change, isn't it? We're all looking for a refreshing change. And you had one last week on holiday. And I think the Zurich Classic. Yeah, I think we all love the Zurich Classic. Maybe we should have one more pairs event in it through the year. I think maybe there's room for another one.
Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of scope to be as innovative as you like. Maybe a mixed event would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they've got one on the Deeper World Tour, the Scandinavian mixed. It's all ahead of us.
Yeah, that's like they get their thinking caps on and some come up with something good. Anything else from the reflective part of the show?
We can't continue without mentioning the chef, can we? The chef was back in action last week.
It was weird to see him down the field, wasn't it?
I think he came too soon after the Masters heroics. I didn't expect much from him last week. He tied 18th with Ryan Palmer. he didn't, you know, it was like he was away with the fairies in the Thursday four balls. He was ragged in that. He was wild in the foursomes. It was only on the Saturday that he really looked like the chef that we know and love. So I hope he rests up now and you know, gets himself fresh for the next majors, you know.
Okay, so that was the golf reflections. Any life reflections? Is there anything you've learned that make you a better, more rounded person in the last week?
That's a great question.
Have you done anything fun?
I've done a little bit of this and that. Yeah. I took the kids to Marwell Zoo last Friday or the Friday before. Yeah. We went to Marwell Zoo.
What's the best animal?
Well, the tiger was so hard to find. Obviously, Tommy Tiger was all excited about seeing the tiger, but sort of hiding in the undergrowth. And you had to sort of hold him up on my tiptoes to try and get a little angle just to see a sort of lump of skin.
Drop him in the moat, will you?
Yeah, so I mean, I just wanted to see the tigers, but yeah, he seemed to like the otters. I was furious in the gift shop actually when he was going on about the blooming otter.
Why?
Yeah, you always get a magnet from wherever we go. You get a souvenir, you get a magnet, haven't you? And yeah, Grace picked a good magnet. She got the giraffe, you know, you got to respect the giraffe, but Tommy was obsessed with the otters, and I said, "What the blimmin' heck you want an otter for? There's a nice tiger there." And I was trying to convince him to have the tiger because his room's full of tiger stuff. Would have fitted in nicely on the radiator in his room, but yeah, he just wanted the otter. I mean, he seems to have a thing for otters.
Blimey, I like the old snakes. You can't go wrong putting your face right up to the glass with like a deadly serpent on the other side. You know, it's quite sort of exhilarating, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it is. Yeah, but see, one of these days the glass will you know, crumble and you'll have a snake right in your face and they'll have the last laugh.
Let's hope not. Right,
everything
then
perishes. Can I just, you know, you just put this seed in my head, everything perishes. You know, when you're walking over some rickety bridge or something, you know, when you're walking along Brighton Pier, this is a good example, we've got off piece earlier, you're walking on Brighton Pier and then there's like a plank of wood that wobbles a bit and you think
you can see the ocean below, can't
you? Can see the ocean below. Yeah, one of these days that plank's going to go, isn't it, and someone's going to fall down. Yeah, I don't know how often they do checks on these things, but yeah, one of these days a serpent is going to get out of a glass thing at the zoo, and then one of these days someone's going to, yeah, sorry, let's get back to the golf.
Okay, right then, we've got two tournaments with a kind of Spanish flavor. We've got the Mexican Open and we've got the Catalunya Championship. Should we do Mexico first, Steve?
I think we should, yeah. PGA Tour seems to take priority these days, and the world number two is in attendance.
Well, yes, it's all about John Rahm this week. Boyle Sports making 4-1 favourite. Blimey, can Steve countenance tipping big Johnny Rahm at 4-1? We'll find out. Abraham Anser is second favourite at 14s. Finau is 16s. Woodland is 16. Nahr, 18. Reed, 20. 22 Munoz, 22 Wise, 25 Chris Kirk, 28 Barr. And the good news is that Boyle Sports are paying 10 places on your each-way bet. So how about that? That's good, isn't it? Tell us, first of all, about the venue, Steve. I think it's fairly little known. It's not a regular stop on the PGA Tour, is it? So what have the players got in store?
It's Vidanta Velata in Mexico. 7,456 yards, par 71. So no picnic. Greg Norman design, opened in 2015. Paspalum grass fairways and greens. El Camaleon, home of the Maya Cobra event, is also Paspalum grass. I know you hate it when I get obsessed with grass.
No, I don't. Ever said I hate it when you get obsessed with grass.
Oh, I've just seen sort of raised eyebrows and stuff.
No, I haven't.
It's going to be a lot of that in this. The Maya Cobra Classic's been played at El Camaleon, a Paspalum grass venue in Mexico. This one, more generous fairways, large greens, but the greens very well protected by deep bunkers. Plenty of water out there too, and we got some breezy afternoons all week. So, yeah, I don't think they'll be having a picnic on the golf course.
Blimey. It'd be great if they did, wouldn't it? If they just suddenly sat down and got some sandwiches out of foil and a penguin and stuff like that. But yeah, it won't be a picnic. So we need to start the conversation with big Johnny Rahm. Are you for or against?
I'm indifferent. Indifferent, really. I mean, he's the most likely winner. I think he's got a massive chance if his head's right and he's patient on the greens, because we all know he's been struggling on the greens. I think he's got a fantastic chance. He's got Maya Cobra form. He was 10th in the 2015 Maya Cobra. He's twice finished third in the WGC in Mexico. His ball striking has been great this year. Yeah, I was very close to being a Rahm backer. The 5-1's gone now. He's 9-2 best price. I think a lot of punters will see him as an each way bet to nothing because this field is so poor. But yeah, I've decided that having four players each way at bigger prices is a better option than, you know, if you have Rahm, you just basically you've got no stake money left, have you, for anything else? And there's some windy afternoons. You know, you might get a bad set of tee times. So, yeah, I've spread my stake across four players rather than sticking it all on Rahm.
OK, and the thing with Rahm, we will get to selections shortly, Steve. But, I mean, this year, it's not only that he's winless, he's not really contending, is he? He's kind of... I haven't actually checked his finishing figures, but he sort of seems to be on the somewhere between 10th and 20th every week without really getting into contention. Would that be a fair assessment?
That's a fair assessment. And yeah, the stat gets ever more compelling. We've been banging on about this for ages, but the win rate, he's now gone 20 months with just one win. The last 20 months, Rahm has just won one title. And yeah, he's going into a really low grade affair this week. This might be the moment he does it. But yeah, he's played low grade events in Spain recently and flopped. I don't know. I fear him greatly, but I just don't want to play at 9-2.
Okay, fair enough. I was looking at there's not a great deal of strength in depth, is there? You've
got no
points. And there's a very intriguing player called Turk Pettit.
Turk Pettit.
Have you heard of
Pettit? I only through going through the list this week. I mean, loads of Mexicans have been invited in as well, haven't they? So yeah, it really is a terrible, terrible field. And Rahm, yeah, will be angry with himself. Well, he's always angry with himself, but it'll be even more so if he fails to contend in this.
Right, well, you've already let the cat out of the bag, but for the theatrical purposes, how many selections this week, Steve?
Four!
Jolly good. And the headline tip is going to be who?
It's the ever-lovable Tony Finau. 16-1 with Boyle Sports getting 10 places, the best each way terms in the market. 22-1 available elsewhere with inferior each way terms. Been a quiet year for our mate Tony. Finally got that second PGA Tour title last August. Everyone was waiting for the second win, weren't they? The Northern Trust was a good tournament to win, won it in courageous fashion. But rather than being a springboard to bigger and better things, his form has dipped a bit. It's been steady but unspectacular golf. I know his father-in-law died at the end of last year. His family were rocked by that. Maybe that's the reason that he's had a bad spell. But there's been encouraging signs recently that Big Tony might be getting back in business. He didn't progress in the WGC match play, but he signed off with a 4-2 thrashing of Xander Schauffele. Then he had four solid rounds for 29th place in the Texas Open. Then he was 35th in the Masters. In this week's low-grade affair, he's got nothing to fear, is he? John Rahm is the only man you could say in the field who's superior to him. I just think Finau, if he steps up one gear, he will contend in this. Approach play, I think, is the key to success this week. Well-protected greens, that's a Finau strength. And you know, look at him in the Mayakoba, 7th in 2014 on his debut in that tournament. World number 155 for that event. He was 8th in 2020 in the Mayakoba, and he loves his Paspalum grass. Yeah, his Mayakoba form is not his only positive Paspalum performance. His Puerto Rico Open win, which for ages was his only success, that's a Paspalum grass course.
He was going about bloody grass. I hate it.
He was second in last year's Saudi International, another one of these rare courses with Paspalum grass. And last year, the USPGA is another bit of form we must note, because Kira Island is now a Paspalum grass course, and he was eighth in that. So, yeah, I think Finau really well suited to this, and I think he's ready to get going again.
What grass have you got in your garden?
Artificial grass.
Oh, have you? Oh, that's yeah, much yeah. use, is it? Could get not feel for that. By the way, sorry to interject there. I meant to mention this. You talk about Saudi. What's going on there? Because Phil Mickelson's... set ripples going this week, hasn't he? Tell us what's happening.
Yeah, I think there's a few ripples. I think one, Robert Garrigus committed to playing, didn't he? Robert
Garrigus. Well, that's the big tour. They don't need to sign anyone else up. If they got Robert Garrigus, that's it, isn't it? The game's over.
He started the ripple. And then, Phil insists he still wants to play in it. So and I think he's entered the majors. He says he wants to play in the next two majors. And it's just whether they're going to let him. Now, I don't know whether they've got jurisdiction to stop him playing in them. Yeah, I mean, it's all very unsavory. It's going to end up in a courtroom, isn't it?
Yeah, only winners will be the lawyers, won't they?
Yeah.
I do like the idea, though, of someone being tasked with recruiting the big names from the world of golf, you know, all the PGA stars, and then going back into a meeting and then saying, right, OK, what have you got for us? They go, right, you'll like this one, boss. Robert Garrigus.
Exactly.
Should we get back to the Mexico Open? We've got Rahm as our... No, we haven't. We've got Finau as our headline selection. Sorry. Who's the main danger?
The main danger is Aaron Wise, who is 22-1 with Boyle Sports getting the best each way terms, 33-1 available elsewhere with inferior each way terms. Another who has put his name on that Mayakoba leaderboard, which I think is important form this week. I think he'd be even more suited to Vedanta Vellata. Yeah, Wise was 10th at El Camaleon in 2018. He was 19th in the WGC Mexico Championship in 2019. He was runner-up behind Victor Hovland in the 2020 Mayakoba. Then last year, he was 15th in the Mayakoba. So that's 4 years in a row that Wise has put in a good performance in Mexico. I fancy him to continue the streak this week. I've always rated this lad, as you know. He was PGA Tour Rookie of the Year in 2018, won his maiden title in fantastic fashion. He's won on the Canadian Tour. He's won on the Korn Ferry Tour. I thought he was going to develop into a world beater. It hasn't happened yet. Still only 25, and I think Vedanta Vellata is a great opportunity for this lad.
Excellent. Third up.
Third up. Another sweet spot favourite. It's Cameron Champ.
Ah, oh, the Greyhound. Excellent.
The champ. It's time to back the champ again. 33-1 with Bora Sports getting 10 places. 55-1 elsewhere with inferior each way terms. He broke his left wrist in an accident at home last autumn. Took ages to get his fitness back and get some strength back in that arm. He returned to action in the American Express. Was still a long way from fully fit. Still had lots of weakness in the wrist. Loads of miscuts followed. But finally, he started feeling back to normal just in time for the Masters. And we all saw what happened in the Masters. He finished 10th at Augusta. He was second for greens in regulation in the Masters. Yeah, that was a massive performance from the champ. A huge result. I mean, he booked his ticket immediately there for next year's Masters. But more importantly, showed he's healthy, ready to contend again. Yeah, this is a three-time PGA Tour champion at the age of 26. And I like him in a breeze. You know, he's got an amazingly low ball flight for such a long driver. Lives in Texas now. I think this week's forecast, breezy afternoons, I think that's a positive for him. And he's icing on cake. You know, I like icing on cake.
Yeah.
He's got some El Camaleon form. He was 10th in 2018. On a, yeah, unsuitable track for him. But yeah, I think Cameron Champ's got lots going for him this week.
Did we get any details on how he broke his wrist in an accident at home? I'm kind of intrigued by that.
No, we didn't. He didn't reveal that. Yeah. Anything could have happened.
Stairs are probably the favourite, aren't they?
Or temper tantrum.
He got home after missing a cut and just bashed the wall in frustration.
We've all done it.
We certainly haven't. I dare say you have, but I've managed to avoid breaking my wrist by punching the wall so far.
He hasn't revealed it, which suggests it wasn't, it wasn't a nice reason. He wasn't sort of helping old lady across the road or something. I don't know. Okay. Who knows? Let's not delve into that.
Okay, let's not delve into that. Let's delve into your fourth selection.
The fourth selection is another sweet spot regular. It's Davis Riley. 40-1 with Boyle Sports getting 10 places. 55-1 available elsewhere with inferior each way terms. I know you like to call him Mavis. I'm convinced Mavis will win on the PGA Tour at some stage soon. He was a playoff loser to Sam Burns in the Valspar Championship last month. And last week, Riley played some fantastic golf again. He partnered Will Zalatoris in the Zurich Classic. They tied for fourth place. And Riley was as good as Zalatoris last week. Yeah, Riley's score counted towards the team score on 11 holes in the round one four balls. Yeah, they shared the load well. There was an equal contribution of good golf.
What do they call that? It's ham and egging.
They were ham and egging. Yeah, they were ham and egging.
One of those pathetic golf expressions. Yeah,
they love what they're there. It's not like one did all the heavy lifting. They were really ham and egging. And Riley's won twice on the Korn Ferry Tour. I think he's nicely settled on the PGA Tour now. I know I keep going on about him, but I think this is a good chance for him in a low grade event.
Smashing. Okay, mate. Thank you very much indeed. Anyone else you wanted to mention?
I don't think so. No. Right. Rahm was the only other one I was considering there.
All right. So you're perfectly prepared to see Rahm win, but you'd rather... I mean, the point is, if one of those guys finishes in the top 10, you get the equivalent of what you would with Rahm and then some with some of the longer priced ones. So,
very much so, John. No, I'm happy with my strategy. No regrets.
All right, mate. Good. Right then, let's move on to the Catalunya Championship. Both these tournaments obviously start on Thursday. This one starts early Thursday. The other one will start Thursday lunchtime, I should imagine. Just check. Do not miss the boat. Always best to get your bets on before you go to bed on Wednesday, I would say. Right then. This is wide open, this tournament. I mean, if we've got a dominant fav in Mexico when it comes to this tournament, it is wide open. Bora Sports go 22-1 the field. And the favourite there is Bernd Wiesberger. Rasmus Højgaard is 22s, Larrazabal 25, Jordan Smith 25, Otto Guay 25, Adrian Moronk 28, Richard Blandy Bland is 28, Laurie Cantor's 30, and it's 33-1 bar. So it's all the sort of usual suspects, really, Steve, isn't it? They seem to kind of form a gang and go to all these tournaments together. The odd one drops in and out, but it's a fairly familiar cast list, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is your strategy going to be? No, first of all, tell us about the course, actually, before we get the tips.
The stadium course, PGA Catalunya Golf and Wellness. Bit of a mouthful. I think we should call it the Wellness. It's in Girona, Spain. 7,353 yards, par 72. The course owners like to say that their track is modelled on Augusta and sawgrass. Pretty lavish claims. I don't see much Augusta in it, really. But there is, yeah, there's a bit of sawgrassness, to be fair to them. Lots of greens protected by water. The course is built around four large lakes. There's some semi-island greens, and they've upgraded their drainage system. Firm and fast conditions are highly likely. We got course form. Three Spanish Opens there, 2000, 2009, 2014, and nine European Tour qualifying scores, 2008 through to 2016. And the Honours Board in those events has a theme running through it. Very tidy players, steady eddies, as we like to call them on Sweet Spot, short but straight hitters. I'll just mention a few of them for you. Brian Davis, Thomas Levay, Simon Kahn, Simon Wakefield, John Parry, Miguel Angel Jimenez, Mikko Korhonen. Accurate plodders do well in.
Excellent. Right. With that in mind, I mean, when you come to a tournament like this and you look at the market and you can see how wide open it is, do you kind of bury your head in your hands or do you rub your hands and think, aye, this is my sort of stage?
I rub everything, Bruce. I love this tournament. I much prefer this to the other one. Yeah, this is a really exciting tournament for me, yeah.
Good. Right. Okay, I'll try and banish that thought. How many tips have we got?
We got five. There's plenty of nice prices in there.
Lovely stuff. Who's the main man?
The main man is Victor Perez, 40-1 with Boyle Sports getting six places, 45-1 available elsewhere. A player who really needed a big performance last week and he got it. His career has been stalling. 13 months ago, he was world number 30. He just finished fourth in the WGC match play. He was a European Tour champion, starting to threaten on the PGA Tour, but he lost his way. He missed loads of cuts. He badly struggled in the majors. He lost his caddy, JP Fitzgerald, decided to return to a quiet life in Dubai, didn't want to travel around America anymore. And it went wrong for Perez. He's currently 135th in the world rankings, but last week will have encouraged him greatly. He's missed only one cut in his last nine starts, but last week was the first time he's been on the leaderboard for a long time. He improved as the week wore on, 70, 68, 68, 66, finished eighth, carded nothing worse than a bogey all week. And it seems like that partnership with his new caddy has settled in now. After JP left, he recruited an old college teammate. He used to play with the University of Mexico. It's a young partnership. He's gone from having a really experienced caddy to a young mate. And it's taken them time. But last week, I think, was a significant step forward. Perez was seventh for driving accuracy. He's always been a fantastic iron player. I think he'll love this week's assignment. And he loves Spain generally. His Alps Tour victory came in Spain in 2016. His first Challenge Tour victory came in Spain in 2017. I think his second DP World Tour title comes in Spain on Sunday.
The Alps aren't in Spain, I suppose.
No, the Alps Tour has some weird locations.
I bet it's like the European Tour isn't. Yeah, Singapore's not in Europe, for example. Okay, fair enough. Are you still mates with JP? Do you still touch base with him every so often?
Yeah. I tried to get him to do a column for the Masters pullout, but he prefers the quiet life. He's sort of like a recluse. He just loves the quiet life. He had no interest. Yeah, I could have offered him £1 million to write a column for the Masters pullout, and he would have said no.
I'm not sure about that, mate. The sports budget might not have stretched that far. But that's fair enough. I'm glad he's enjoying himself. It must be hard, that, mustn't it? A lifetime of lugging a golf bag around.
He's got a great life now.
Shopping in, would you, after all that?
He's got a great life now. Yeah, just plays golf every day in Dubai.
Oh, lovely. Beautiful. Right then, so we've got Victor Perez as the headline tip. Who do you think is the main danger, Steve?
The main danger is Adrian Ottagui, or Adrian Ottagui, or the Otter, as you might want to call him. My son might call him the Otter.
Yeah, he might take a shine to him now. Now he's into otters.
Of a magnet of Adrian Ottagui on his radiator. Yeah, 25-1 with Boyle Sports, best price. And he went down fighting last week. He set up an eagle at the final hole. Did you watch all of that final round? He set up an eagle at the final hole, which kept Larrabal on tenterhooks right to the death. He made a birdie in the end, two-putt birdie, lost by a shot. But he played great all week, 66, 66, 68, 66. He was 11th for driving accuracy, 3rd for strokes gained on approach. They are the attributes that should stand him in great stead at PGA Catalunya. And he relishes this venue. So many happy memories at this course. He first played it when he was 10 years old. He was born a few hours up the road in San Sebastian. He was 5th in the 2014 European Tour Q School there. He was 2nd in the 2015 European Tour Q School there. So he's course proven in fantastic nick. He was 3rd in the Ras Al Khaimah Championship in February. He was 5th in the Qatar Masters in March. He was 2nd last week. And finally, I think it's worth noting that he finished 2nd in the 2018 China Open, losing by a shot as a European Tour maiden. And he made his European Tour breakthrough in his next event. So he can produce form figures of 2-1, you know. He left with his head held high from Tarragona last week. It was no disgrace in what he did. So, next best is the Otter.
Lovely stuff. Who else have we got?
Tom Lewis is our third selection. 66-1 with Ball Sports getting 6 places, 70-1 elsewhere. Tom Lewis, superb iron player. I think that's the key to success this week. Strong approach play, traditional strength of Lewis. And he was galvanised by his return to his home circuit last week. He's been really struggling on the Corn Ferry Tour this year, getting back to Europe last week. Yeah, it's like putting on an old slipper, Bruce. You know, he was so comfortable to be back with his mates on the European Tour in Tarragona. He closed with a 65 for 10th place. Not quite enough for us to collect each way returns at fancy prices, but good enough to be a real confidence booster for this really talented player. He made 11 birdies at the weekend. I think he'll make plenty in Girona. And the course form's there. 15th in the 2014 Spanish Open. 15th again in the 2016 Q School at PGA Tour Catalunya. Don't forget, both his European Tour wins came in Portugal across the Spanish border.
Okay, fair enough. I've never worn slippers in my life. Have you?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I don't
mind
a slipper.
Do you own some now?
I don't, because I had a problem with them. I had these Superman slippers that my wife bought me for my birthday. I really like them, sort of oversized and nice, but I kept falling up the stairs.
Oh, wow.
yeah, you know, a lot of people fall down the stairs.
Yeah, it's better to fall problem. Up and down, isn't it? You end up like Cameron Champ, I suppose, wouldn't you?
You can still come a cropper. Because, they were like sort of clown shoes. Every time I went upstairs, I fell. And then you can fall up and then fall back down. It's a really dangerous situation. So, I cast them aside.
Did they not have them in your size?
I think they were designed to be oversized. So, they, warmer, more material, warmer. Yeah. So, it's been a while since I've put them on. But
are in favour of carpet slipper generally.
I don't mind a carpet slipper. In the cost of living crisis, you've got to put whatever you want on, haven't you? You've got to put 10 layers on to combat not having the heating on. But
absolutely, mate. Absolutely. Yeah. Right, then. So we've got Perez, we've got Otter Gay, and we've got Tom
Otter
Lewis.
Otter Gay. There's many ways to say it. I'll add that to the list.
Is there many? I'm sure there's only
Well,
one.
Well, Otter Gooey. I've always gone Otter Gooey. And then Ategi is another one, and you've gone with Otter Gay.
Yeah, I'm sure mine's wrong, actually. I'm sure.
Okay.
And two others. Who are they?
Two others. Mikko Korhonen, 50-1 with Boyle Sports getting 6 places. 55-1 available elsewhere with only 5 places. He's got Q School form figures at this track of 13-23-1. He's the classic steady Eddie type that we've been talking about that thrives at this venue. He was 15th in the 2014 Spanish Open at this course. So amazing course figures. He's found some form in time to go well again. He was 10th in the Stein City Championship a month ago. He was 15th last week in the ISPS. And he's a 2-time tour champion. He's still only 41. He's surprisingly young. You look at him.
Of course. Brilliant.
Well,
he's
been around for so long now. But he's still he's still got plenty to offer. Yeah, if he was our age, you'd just give up on him, wouldn't you?
I don't know, I suppose so, yeah. Okay, so that's the front four. And then we've got one more. Who are you going for?
We are going to have another go with Adrien Sadier. 150-1 with Ball Sports getting 6 places. 200-1 available elsewhere with only 5 places. I think Adrien Sadier is good enough to win on the DP World Tour. I'll say it again. He teased me last week. He finished tied 15th. Would have been a big price in the top 20 market if I'd looked at that. You know, obviously too ambitious as usual. I think he can build on those 4 solid rounds in Tarragona with another 4 in Girona. He's played some good golf over the last 8 months. Not been getting in many tournaments, but decent form over the last 8 months. Getting his act together on and off the course. He knows PGA Catalunya well as a Q School regular. He was 6th in the 2013 Q School.
Okay, brilliant. Anyone else you want to mention, or is that it?
I think we need to talk about Pablo Larrabia.
Okay, go on then.
Because, you know, it'd be very, very tempting to go back in with Pablo Larrabia, given how impressive he finished last week. But he's got a terrible record after victories. You know, he's a very emotional man. I think it seems to take a lot out of him, a win. He probably celebrates hard. His form figures in his tournament after his six previous wins, really eye-catching. Miscut, 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 62, miscut, miscut.
Oh.
And his two Spanish Open spins at this venue, 60, miscut.
That's pretty damning, isn't it?
It is damning,
Say can't win, but there's some good evidence to say that we should take our chip off that particular roulette table, you know?
Yeah, it's off-putting, isn't it? I mean, I thought Blandy might tempt you in.
Very much so. What do you think? Do you like Blandy for this?
This is a Blandy type of course. He's the highest ranked player in the field. 28-1 Blandy. Yeah, I mean, he's not quite for me, but I can see why he would be for some.
Okay, well, talking about Blandy, of course, next week we're back to the British Masters, aren't we? Scene of that emotional triumph when Blandy and Barta broke down on each other.
Is that next week, is it? That's crept up on us, isn't it? Yeah.
So we've got next week, we've got the Wells Fargo and we've got the British Masters. And I'm delighted to say that there will be a live watch along for the final round of the British Masters on Sunday week. So do book a date for that one. That's a nice afternoon one. Steve will be taking you through his thoughts on what's going to happen as the action at the Belfry unfolds. But before then, let's stay in the present, as your guru Eckhart Tolle always encourages to do. So let's reiterate the tips this week. And first up, it's the Mexico Open.
Yeah, Tony Finau, Aaron Wise, Cameron Champ, and Davis Riley.
And in the Catalunya Championship,
Victor Perez, Adrian the Otter Gui, Tom Lewis, Mikko Korhonen, and Adlien Thadier.
Okay, brilliant. Any other business?
No. I think that's us done. Yeah. Let's enjoy it.
Okay, I will. I'll do my level best. Okay, check out Steve's tips in the Racing Post tomorrow or on racingpost.com. All the stats, all the prices, all the key form figures. Joe Champ in the Racing and Football Outlook and our friends at PixWise as well. Check out their thoughts on this week's golf. Loads and loads of terrific action coming up. We're back next Tuesday for another Sweet Spot. We hope you can join us.